Well, good morning again. You know, the Bible comments that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. What's your favorite season? What's your favorite season? Let me see a show of hands. If your favorite season is spring, okay. Summer, there's quite a few there. Fall and winter. There's always a few oddballs, right? Who invited you anyway? Yeah. Yeah, there's something beautiful about every season. I truly love all the seasons, and we get all four of the seasons in Indiana here, don't we? I love the hope and the renewal that spring breaks, green grass, fresh flowers, leaves budding, Easter Sunday. I love the warmth and the sunshine of the summer. To me, autumn is the most beautiful season. Pumpkins, leaves changing, the chill in the air, corn ready for the harvest. And though increasingly I would really like winter to be much shorter than it is, I do love the warmth of a fire and the beauty of a snow-covered landscape. And just like nature around us, you know, in our lives, we go through different seasons. The innocence of childhood, coming of age as an adult, spring, starting a family and navigating the blessings and challenges of adulthood, summer into fall, and the great depths of love and pain experienced during the sunset of life, fall to winter. I turned 48 recently and kind of find myself somewhere in the middle of life's great cycle. Jimmy Wheeler sent me this birthday card. It said, you know you're getting older when everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. When your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You can only burn the midnight oil until 9 o'clock. I get that. The twinkle in your eyes is from the sun reflecting on your bifocals. And your bat goes out more often than you do. So there you go. I remember hearing an interview from a woman who had just turned 100, and she was asked, what's your favorite thing about aging and turning 100? You know what she said? No peer pressure. There are benefits to getting older, you know. Cheap coffee, there you go. And just like our physical lives, our spiritual lives go through different seasons as well. Ups and downs, mountains and valleys, deserts and oasis seasons. And sometimes our relationship with God, we enjoy a sense of renewal and revival, spring. We have periods when we feel really close to God and life is just joy and peace, summer. There are times when we kind of have this tension. We feel contentment in Christ, and yet we have moments of anxiety about life or as we look to the future, fall. And then we have moments on the journey of faith where we're maybe overwhelmed with sorrow or despair. It's difficult to pray and worship, and maybe God seems distant. Winter. The Old Testament book of Psalms contains songs and prayers for all the seasons of life. And last week we began a series of messages based on the Psalms, and in the most basic sense, a biblical psalm is a song or a prayer. And the Psalms provide us with language to sing and pray during all the seasons of life, both our physical lives and the life of faith. Now, there are different types of Psalms, and we're going to kind of explore that in depth in our Wednesday night Bible study, if you're interested in being a part of that. But for the next few weeks on Sunday morning, we're going to look at five different examples of different types of Psalms. And three of the psalms I think of as summer psalms, a prayer of confidence, a hymn to the Creator, and a concert of praise. We're going to also consider two prayer models that really are more appropriate during the winter season of our lives. And the technical name for these winter prayers is lament. A lament is simply a cry to God for help. A lament is a complaint to God when life is hard or disappointing or painful. A lament is appeal to God for healing or justice or relief. A lament is an honest prayer to God when we have nowhere else to turn but to God. A case can be made that over half the Psalms in the book of Psalms are lament, prayers of lament. And today we're going to consider perhaps the shortest example of a lament psalm found in the Bible, in the Psalms, Psalm 13. If you want to open up to Psalm 13, again, the psalm, if you're using a print Bible, just open to the middle, you can typically find them. Psalm 13, and I'm going to begin by reading as we begin. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fail. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Psalm 13 provides us with a prayer that we can pray during the winter seasons of life with God. And specifically, Psalm 13 provides us with a path that we can follow that can help us move from lament to praise, from sorrow to joy, and from winter to spring. And so the first step that we can take during this desert season is to lament honestly. To lament honestly. The first two verses from Psalm 13 allow us to do that. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? The heading of Psalm 13 tells us that this psalm was written by King David. Now, David was and is the pioneer of biblical worship. And over half the psalms that we have are attributed to David or in honor of David. In the Bible, David is described as a man after God's own heart. He had a rugged faith and an unwavering devotion to God. And yet, David wrestled with God. David knew firsthand the chill of winter. He understood the pain of a broken family and the results of tragedy in his life. On many occasions, David feared for his life. He also had to face the consequences, the lasting consequences of his sinful actions. There were moments in his life when David cried out to God for his protection and justice and mercy. There were times of conflict between God's will and David's will. Most significantly, there were seasons in his life when David felt abandoned by God. And the only prayer that he could pray was, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? And so maybe this morning you can relate to King David. You know bitterness and disappointment. You know fear and anxiety. You understand the unloving relationships. You've had that experience. And maybe you are living with the consequences of sin. Perhaps this morning you can identify with David's feelings of God-forsakenness. God seems distant or absent. Maybe you've been pleading with God, how long will you hide your face from me? And so what are we to do if we are currently struggling in a winter season of faith? Psalm 13 encourages us to take our honest laments to God. The Bible gives us permission to approach God with honesty. Not who we wish we were, not who we pretend to be, but who we really are on the inside. I think one of the reasons that people avoid the book of Psalms, I know it for a fact, actually people have talked to me about this, There's a lot of crying and complaining and angry speech in the Psalms. There's a sense in which the crying and the complaining, the lamenting, is, we might think it's inappropriate for a Christian. You know, these kinds of things are a sign of weakness, we think. You know, a Christian should be strong all the time, we might think to ourselves. And so we come to church all polished up, and we have put on our good face, and we act like we have it all together, and all we want to do is sing upbeat choruses. But the Bible pushes back and challenges that wrong thinking. And in our hearts, we know better than that, don't we? None of us have it all together. That includes me. Many of us are hurting today. Many of us are anxious. Many of us are fighting the winter blues. We don't feel very spiritual. We have doubts. We question God. This is why we need lament. There are seasons in life when we need to lament to help us face life as it really is, not how we wish it was. We need lament because sometimes life feels more like winter than spring. As a quick aside, you know, my hope is that we can be a safe, accepting church where we all feel comfortable to be our true selves, spiritual family where we don't have to wear masks, where we support one another during all the seasons of the life of faith. And I think we're heading that way. The church is always in progress. But it kind of takes all of us just committing together just to allow ourselves just to be a little bit more open, a little bit more vulnerable. The heading of Psalm 13 says this, for the director of music. Psalm 13 is a song to be sung and a prayer to be prayed by a congregation. There is a place for lament in our community life. And so my hope is that we can be a church where we both praise and lament together. Both praise and lament are expressions of faith because both are directed to the living God. When is lament an appropriate expression of faith? And it's not going to be all the time, but there are times when it is appropriate. When we are sad, when we are afraid, when we're depressed, when life doesn't go according to plan, when we're maybe grieving and dealing with sorrow, when we're concerned about the future of the country, when we're facing just a lingering pandemic, when we feel spiritually burnt out, when we don't understand the ways of God. You know, all of these kinds of situations would be fitting occasions for biblical lament. And as I was thinking about this, friends from past ministry experiences came to mind. I thought of Ellen, who took care of her sick husband who could be very grumpy. She took care of him for 20 long years. How long, O Lord? I thought of Linda, who cared for her mother afflicted by dementia, who no longer knew her. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? I thought of Jen, who lost a job that she loved, and she battled underemployment for long after 5 years. How long will you hide your face from me? I think of grandparents who invited me to their home after the tragic death of a 3-year-old grandson, and they wanted an explanation. They asked, why did God allow this to happen? And all I could do was talk to them about the promise of God to be present with us through the valley of death. How long must I have sorrow in my heart? I also thought of Stephanie. Stephanie was an outgoing, confident young adult who had just recently been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She was not a believer when she began attending our church after that diagnosis. And she stands out to me because she always talked about God as her homeboy upstairs. He was her homeboy upstairs. As a church family, we supported her, we rallied around her, we prayed for Stephanie during her short battle with cancer. And I performed Stephanie's funeral and the text for the message with Psalm 13. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And there's a time for lament in the life of the believer. But if we want to move past lament and out of that winter season, then we need to take the next step on the path, which is to pray. We must transform our lament into petition. Psalm 13:3, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. Now, as we journey through the Psalms together, we are going to hear the psalmist make many petitions and requests to God. God, deliver me. God, lead me. God, save me. God, hide me. Protect me. God, confront my enemies. God, judge the wicked, and so on and so on. And each prayer presents a specific need first confessed through an honest lament. And so after crying out and complaining to God, King David makes a specific request. Look on me and answer me. Give light to my eyes. David had felt abandoned by God, and so his lament is transformed into a petition. God, return to my life. Be present in my life again. What are you lamenting this morning? David encourages us this morning to take our honest laments before God in the form of a prayer, asking God to act and respond to the specific need in our hearts. If you're lonely, petition God to bring Christian friends into your life. If you're feeling spiritually dry, pray to God to renew your faith. If you're drowning in sorrow, ask God to restore that sense of peace and joy. If you're concerned about your marriage, appeal to God to restore grace and love to your relationship. The Bible encourages us to pray what we are thinking and feeling, to transform our complaints and our worries and our fears and our doubts into our prayer list. And again, I think we do this as a congregation in our relationships, part of discipleship that Jim was talking about. We do it in our classes. We go a little deeper. We do it in our small groups. We do it in our congregation. Listen to the words from the old hymn. When we're weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care, we should never be discouraged when we take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. We should never be discouraged when we take it to the Lord in prayer. When we were able to transform our cries and complaints to God into heartfelt prayers, then spring is likely just around the corner. But Psalm 13 invites us to take one more step in that path from despair to hope. We trust God. We trust God. Listen again to verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, just a moment ago, David was complaining to God. But now David is praising God. David's how long, O Lord, has become thank you, Lord. What happened? What changed? And the answer is we don't really know what changed. Perhaps David's lament and his prayer was answered. And these details aren't included in the psalm. The psalm comes to us in the form of a generic prayer model in worship liturgy. The general nature of the psalm allows us to fill in the details with our own lives and concerns, which is one of the primary ways that the psalms have such great power, because they're generic. We can put our own life into them, and they speak that way. But it is possible that David had received an answered petition, and it was because of that answer to his prayer that his mood and his attitude began to change. An answered prayer has the power to reinvigorate faith. But there's another way that we can interpret Psalm 13. David hasn't gotten an answer to his prayer. David is still waiting for a reply. But David's outlook has changed because he has made the decision to trust God. David had lamented honestly, he had prayed fervently, and all that was left to do, all that's left to do in the winter season of life is to just trust that God will be faithful. David has confidence that God has heard his prayer. David trusts God even when there's no sign of an answer in the moment. He trusts God that God will be true to his character and faithful to his promises. It is faith that allows David to move from winter to spring, celebrating an act of deliverance that is still in the future. David believed that God's goodness would prevail in the end. I will sing of the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David can see that moment in time. One of my favorite quotes is this: don't doubt in the darkness what God has revealed to you in the light. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has revealed to you in the light. Don't be too discouraged by the winter season that you may be going through. Bring your laments to God. Pray honestly. And trust that God, according to his timetable and according to his will answer your prayer and restore to you the joy of your salvation. Let me close today by telling you about a friend of mine named Jeff who chose to trust God during a very trying winter season in his life. Jeff was a member of our former congregation. He had a wonderful smile, a corny sense of humor. I always appreciated that. A gift for expression, a contagious passion for God. Jeff loved God. He loved telling people about Christ and sharing his faith. It was a source of great hope and strength for him. Several years ago, Jeff was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And gradually the disease has caused kind of a wasting away of Jeff's body. But even though Jeff's physical body was wasting away, we could see his faith being renewed and transformed and increasing. While Jeff could still type on a computer, he would end his psalm-like emails. He would send out these beautiful emails, and he would say, "I still believe." And eventually, the ALS took away Jeff's ability to speak. And even though he could no longer have a voice that he could praise God, he still found ways to express his faith and hope. Jeff's family informed me that during the final moments of his life, Jeff would still try to communicate with his eyes. And Jeff's wife shared that, you know, when she was having a bad day, Jeff would gesture to her with his eyes, and he would look up. This was Jeff's way of reminding his family and friends of the source of his faith and his strength and his hope, heaven above. Jeff would eventually cross the finish line of faith and life, still believing. The author Brian Jones suggests people enduring a season of faith should pray this way: "Yes, Father, I still believe in your goodness despite what I see with my eyes. Yes, Father, I still believe you have a plan for my life despite what I feel in my heart. Yes, Father, I still believe my best days are ahead of me despite what my enemies and friends and family say to me. Even if you ask me to live in mystery the rest of my life, I will wake up every day and say, yes, Father, I still believe in you." When we decide to trust God in this way, the darkness of winter is transformed into the dawn of spring, the tears of night into the joy of the morning, and the pain of death into the hope of resurrection. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Let's pray. Father, we sing your praise today. We join with David. And we offer a confession of faith, even when the world around us seems to be falling apart, even when there seems to be just a lot of darkness right now, God. And perhaps even personally, while we're maybe facing a real battle, a real struggle, we'll continue to believe. We'll continue to sing your praises and to believe in your time, you will make all things new. You'll bring a solution. You'll bring healing. You'll bring a new direction. You'll bring life everlasting. Father, I pray that we could truly be a community of faith where we live in this with this type of faith, believing your word, believing that you will keep your promises. Father, I pray that you would pull us out of the pit of lament, a season of despair, and that you would just bring renewed joy and hope through Christ. And it's in his name we pray today. Amen.